This is 89.1 WEMU. I'm David Fair. On Tuesday, President Joe Biden made an appearance in Dearborn to push his green energy agenda. He came at the invitation of 12th District Congresswoman Debbie Dingell. They and other distinguished guests toured the Ford Rouge Electric Vehicle Center, and the president even got to drive Ford's F-150 Lightning electric pickup truck. Today, Representative Dingell joins us by phone from Washington, D.C., and it's good to have you back on WEMU again.
David, it's always good to be with you, and it's always good when it's Friday.
I couldn't agree more. Presidential visits, as you well know, are pretty regimented for time. Did you get much time in the visit to talk with President Biden about America's energy future?
You know, I've stayed close to the president over the years. I have been talking to the White House about this event. I'm having numerous conversations with the White House and many other stakeholders, because I think it's really important that labor be at the table with the environmentalists, that we talk about how we protect the environment, address global climate change, but also protect jobs. So, you know, the whole trip was about that. And yes, I did have time with President.
You know, there are Republicans who say that the energy plans as put forth by the Biden administration are radical. There are those on the further left that believe the president is far too conservative. Where are we going to meet in the middle on this?
I'm working really hard to do that, David, right now. I have been in regular meetings. I've brought the environmental community together with the unions. We've been having very good and productive conversations. The environmentalists sent out a letter on Tuesday talking about how we have to worry about jobs. I think we will find that place in the middle. The White House is aware of the conversations on the House side. Speaker Pelosi, Majority Leader Hoyer, Frank Pallone are all really aware of how we're working at this. And I'm trying to get, instead of getting people, which is what we do in this country, to make false choices, I'm trying to get everybody together to help make sure the future works for everybody.
Energy is a key component to the American Jobs Plan proposal. Ford and GM, as you know, are moving towards fully electrical vehicle fleets. Here in Washtenaw County, we have M-City and the American Center for Mobility. Fiat Chrysler is developing and testing its autonomous vehicle technology in Chelsea. How will passage of the American Jobs Plan bolster those efforts, the economy, and employment levels here in Southeast Michigan?
Well, we have to make sure we're positioned to do well when that happens. But, you know, there's three things. When you talk about electric vehicles, one, we got to make the car up, say, three buckets. One, they've got to be affordable. Two, I'm very focused on, is we need to invest in R&D so that we develop a battery that's got range so people will have confidence. And then we have to build those batteries here in the United States of America with good paying. I want them to be union jobs. And then the third bucket is we have to build out the infrastructure, and we have to upgrade our power grid. Michigan, I want those battery plants in Michigan. The R&D should be done in Michigan, and we have to be part of building out the power grid across the country.
Our conversation with Michigan's 12th District Congressional Representative Debbie Dingell continues on 89.1 WEMU. While the president was here, one of the more widely distributed photographs of the visit was one of you and Michigan Congressional Representative Rashida Tlaib talking with President Biden on the tarmac upon his arrival. And at least part of that conversation included Representative Tlaib bringing her concerns to the president on the violence between Israel and Hamas. The conversation was reported in many outlets as somewhat tense, but you were standing right there. What was your take on it?
That it was a necessary conversation. It was a real conversation. The president was very compassionate. He listened. He shared things. It was a private conversation, and it should remain private. But the president doesn't do diplomacy in the public arena. Fortunately, the ceasefire was finally negotiated last night. And I know for a fact that President Biden was very hard on Bibi and the need for the ceasefire.
We do now have that ceasefire in effect, and as uneasy as it is to this point, it has held up. Before the ceasefire was called, 240 lives were lost, 232 Palestinians, 12 Israelis. As a Democrat from Dearborn, you represent one of the largest Arab populations outside of the Middle East. What are you hearing from your constituents?
Oh, I'm hearing much. I've at a lot of, I love my community. I've lived there for 30 years. They're intense and they're passionate, and they have real issues that people need to understand. We have a humanitarian crisis in Palestine. They are not being treated right. We had innocent children dying in all of this. So they are very worried, very concerned, and wanted to see the United States take a role that acknowledges both sides.
There is also a significant Jewish population in southeast Michigan, and the majority support Israel and the U.S. support of Israel. How do you walk that line in representing those with varying ideas and convictions about Middle East policy?
You know, David, I listen to everybody. I talk to everybody. I'm more like the president. I do what I do quietly, but I think I'm pretty effective. You know, and I end up yelled at by everybody almost every day. Some days it gets to you. But I want people to know I'm listening and really trying to accomplish something.
So from the House of Representatives perspective, and because you represent those that you do, what voice are you giving them in trying to help form new Middle East policy?
Well, I think a reality is Israel has lost support in the Democratic caucus because they are concerned. I don't think people realize that during Ramadan, Israel bombed a mosque on a Friday night of Ramadan, which is the holiest of nights. It would have been like bombing a Catholic church on Christmas Eve in this country. We need to help educate people about what all of the issues are. And I think that's one of the most important things that I can do right now is help people understand the humanitarian crisis there. In Palestine, I had to fight to get vaccines available to them. They have a shortage of water and food. They're desperate. And I don't think everybody realizes that.
In your estimation, should Palestine be its own sovereign state?
I'm somebody who supports a two-state solution.
We're talking with Congresswoman Debbie Dingell on 89.1 WEMU, and she is joining us by phone today from Washington, D.C. Now, I've already mentioned Representative Rashida Tlaib, and I'd like to touch on a legislative measure that you have worked on with her. On Wednesday of this week, the two of you, along with Representative Lisa Blunt Rochester from Delaware, introduced legislation aimed at providing water debt relief. Obviously, access to safe, healthy, and affordable water has been a huge issue here in Michigan. It's long been an issue in areas across the country. There's been a bit of a respite in the pandemic as moratoriums on shutoffs were put into place, but those are going to expire. What would this bill do if approved?
Well, we're doing a number of bills. We'll be having hearings on water in the Energy and Commerce Committee next week. The fact of the matter is that when you're in a pandemic, water is life. You cannot cut somebody's water off. So we had to ensure first that no one's water was cut off. We have cities that are worried about how they're going to cover the cost. We have people that are worried about how they're going to cover the cost. I happen to think water is a humanitarian need. So we are working at trying to help cities and municipal water departments as water is being cut off and the challenges that faces. But we are also have started, the HHS is working on this. There's another bill that was introduced this week that will try to establish a permanent fund to help people on water needs when they have it, like the LIHEAP, which is there to help people pay for utility costs when they can't afford them.
And that would be about a $4 billion initial investment? And you say that it would be a permanent fund. So how would that be funded in the years to come?
Well, we're going to have to work all of that out as we are working these job skills. But it would come from the General Treasury. But I think that there are ways and places to pay for it. And I, quite frankly, think of water as a human right and that every person in the world should have access to clean running water, but certainly in the United States of America. And in a pandemic, when we're telling people the most important thing they can do is wash their hands, think of sanitary issues, just water, drinking it, it's life.
When water and housing eviction moratoriums fully expire, we may very well have another crisis on our hands. We know people are going to need a helping hand to get through the pandemic and early post-pandemic realities. In your estimation, are we ready for that from a policy standpoint?
Well, we're working on it very hard. We do not have the CDC said that evictions were a public health issue. is challenged in the courts, the CDC put that back in. But I've been working very hard to have the president do a moratorium on water turnoffs. Have not been able to get that to happen. The CDC is looking at it. But I actually think that that's one of the most, I think, if not evicting people in the middle of the pandemic is very important, but I think water, which is life, is even more important.
Well, we covered a lot of ground today and set the stage for future conversations. I will look forward to our visit next Friday.
David, I look forward to it, and I hope you have a good weekend.
You too. That is Representative Debbie Dingell. She is a Dearborn Democrat representing the 12th District in Michigan. I'm David Fair, and this is your community NPR station, 89.1 WEMU-FM and WEMU-HD1 Ypsilanti.